Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When it comes to the NBA, nobody better at talking that than my next guest. You can find him on Twitter at HoopsCritic, HoopsCritic.com. Brian Geltzeiler joining me right now on the show. Happy New Year, Geltz.
Happy New Year, Shawnee. How we doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. It's a new year, and there's a lot of NBA storylines, and it's always good doing a show when a storyline drops right in your lap. I feel bad for Tom Thibodeau, but I think he'll get over the whole thing. But I was thinking about this Timberwolves team, Geltz. A year and a half ago, this was a team that everybody was looking at as a dark horse in the Western Conference with a young nucleus that was put together. Jimmy Butler was there to kind of, you know, finish off a nice core. And I guess life comes at you pretty fast in the NBA, huh?
It certainly does. I mean, I think it's funny because one of the big criticisms you saw today is, he ruined this organization with the Butler trade. Shawnee, you show me someone, okay, a fan of an NBA team or the Timberwolves, media that covers the Timberwolves or covers anywhere in the NBA that didn't like the Jimmy Butler trade for Minnesota, and then I'll show you a liar. Okay, because everybody loved that trade. It was a no-brainer trade. Any executive worth his weight in a granular of salt would have made that trade. So when you want to make the smoking gun and why Tom Thibodeau got fired be about the Jimmy Butler trade, it's patently absurd. What you need to look at with Glenn Taylor is, you know, if Thibodeau wasn't going to, he gave him a 5-year, $35 million deal. We're in the middle of year three right now. If he wasn't going to let Tom see this through to the end of year four, he's got business not letting him make the Butler trade. Listen, you got to remember something. The Houston Rockets, who granted have played very good basketball here lately and put themselves back in the playoff swing, but you could see how things could unwind for them quickly over the course of the next couple of years, offered four first-round picks for Jimmy Butler. The only reason those four first-round picks were not accepted in a trade was because Tom Thibodeau was put on trial for his job, told if he didn't make the playoffs, he wasn't making it through the season. Those four first-round picks didn't do anything for Tom. So what happens? Glenn Taylor lets Tom make a deal for Saric and Covington, which is fine. Those guys have played well, and they're certainly good players. It was not full value for Jimmy Butler, but he lets him go make that deal for Jimmy Butler and fires him 6 weeks later when they're two games out of the playoffs in a loss column. It's amazing to me, amazing how listen, if you want the guy, you didn't want the guy to run your team anymore, get rid of him before the beginning of the season. If you were going to let him start the season, you had business letting him finish the season. If you were going to let him make the Butler trade, you really had business letting him finish the season. This is not a failure of Tom Thibodeau, in my opinion, in any way, shape, or form. This is a gross failure on an ownership level by their owner, Glenn Taylor.
Yeah, how close are the Timberwolves to being back to being the Timberwolves again, Geltz? It seems like it's pointed more in that direction now than it is the up-and-coming team we thought they were a couple of years ago.
A few things you got to understand. Okay, first and foremost is that Tom Thibodeau wasn't exactly on board with giving Andrew Wiggins 5 years and $150 million. That was a Glenn Taylor creation, to a point where Taylor sat down with him to talk about his attitude before he had him sign that deal, which normally is a surefire sign that maybe you shouldn't offer the guy that much money. You look at where they are right now. Wiggins is a guy that would typify your typical Timberwolves, your team that didn't make the playoffs for 12 years before last year. That's kind of Andrew Wiggins. He doesn't care. He's the king of bad body language out there. I mean, the guy came out last week without a uniform on to play in a game. He doesn't take the game seriously, and you're in the first year of a 5-year, $150 million deal. And that typifies it. Listen, Karl Anthony Towns is a big-time player, but he's going to languish there unless they can surround him with better management. Scott Layden's in a really brutal spot here. I don't think he stays there. I think they bring in Fred Hoiberg. He's going to end up either running that organization or coaching that team, and if Hoiberg's smart, he'll take the GM job because he'll have a lot more job security there. But this kind of typifies where the Timberwolves are, and bad ownership's bad ownership, Shawnee. Think about this. Fred Hoiberg just lost his job in Chicago for running a country club instead of a basketball team. Okay, and now Fred Hoiberg is the guy that they think is the right option to come in here and take over this organization in one form or another. That kind of gives you an idea how far off where he should be Glenn Taylor truly is.
Brian Geltzeiler joining me, talking some NBA here on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, you mentioned the Rockets, and yeah, the Rockets got to feel like they may have dodged a bullet not trading those four first-rounders for Jimmy Butler, especially some of the things we're hearing now in Philadelphia with Jimmy Butler. But I want to get your thoughts on James Harden, the run of basketball that he's had over the last month plus. It's obviously been great. It's been better than anything he's ever done before, which is crazy to say because the guy's a two-time MVP runner-up and he's the reigning MVP. Is there anything you're seeing from Harden, though, that changes how we should be viewing what postseason Harden could be like down the line?
Yes, you're leading me on something here, and I'm going to get to that in one sec, but I do want to say this. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, Jimmy Butler, if he had been traded to the Rockets, watching James Harden dribble his way through possessions in isolations would have absolutely destroyed Mike D'Antoni's office five times over by now. I have to watch that stuff. As far as, listen, James has been incredible lately, and he took himself where he really was a disappointment early in the season and threw himself back in the center of the MVP race. That's how amazing this run has been. He has carried this team from the second worst team in the conference to the fourth best, literally on his back. I mean, Chris Paul's been out, but when Chris Paul's played, he hasn't been good. And Eric Gordon has been out, and when Eric Gordon has played, he hasn't been good. This is all James Harden, which brings me to kind of where you left the question. None of this is sustainable, Shawnee. He can't keep going like this. He's leading the league in minutes per game. The minutes are not easy minutes. They're laborious minutes, man. The ball's in his hands at all times. He's an incredible, amazing player. But if you think somehow he's going to do this and carry this team all by himself to a championship, he's not superhuman. We saw it last night in Portland. He struggled a little bit. He's going to have games that he struggles. They ask so much out of him because they just don't have much else right now. And you give him all the credit in the world. He's played incredible. But if you think somehow we're going to be looking up in game 76 and James Harden's still going to be, you know, putting up 45-point triple-doubles, I just don't know that we can expect that from him. And the unfortunate part for the Rockets is to stay where they are and keep their trajectory moving upward. They're going to need him to keep doing this.
Geltz, with the Warriors in the Western Conference, Warriors are the 3 seed in the Western Conference. I don't know when the last time we were this deep into a season and the Warriors were a 3 seed. So we're halfway through the year. They're 26-14. Is it just a matter of, the Warriors legitimately have come back to the pack, or do you think that this is a team that can flip the switch? Are there some fundamental flaws with this team right now?
Well, I think there's some fundamental flaws. I think defensively they've been pretty poor this year. Klay Thompson's general struggles on the offensive end of the floor have carried over to the defensive end. Let's just say it, Draymond Green's fat and out of shape. He's doughy. He's not, you know, he didn't come to camp in shape. He had a real fun summer celebrating the championship. And then he hurt a toe early on, and that didn't help him get in shape. He's playing his way into shape right now. And as much as DeMarcus Cousins, I think, will help them a little bit offensively, they switch everything defensively. He is not good at switching onto the perimeter. And their biggest offensive problems is turnovers. The guy averaged 5 turnovers a game last year. So he's not going to necessarily bring all of their answers. The thing about flipping the switch, Sean, is very interesting because I hearken back to LeBron James's Miami Heat teams who had that flip the switch thing. And at certain points in time, we would say, what's wrong with the Heat? We're wondering about the Heat. Oh, they'll just flip the switch in the playoffs. Until you reach a certain point, you can't flip the switch anymore, where it becomes too hard and too difficult, and you flip that switch, and the level you thought you could get to is not there. Listen, the Warriors can be brilliant offensively. They're not a deep team. That's going to be a problem come the playoffs. Even when you shorten benches, that's going to be a problem. They will score offensively. Can you just turn it up on defense? I don't know. Curry's become a dumb defender all over again, taking stupid chances and easy to take advantage of. Durant's effort has been spotty on that end of the floor. As I said, Green's out of shape. We're not seeing the same Klay Thompson. And Andre Iguodala's not the same player. So, you know, can they turn it up? If it's there, and I think the best thing they have going for them is there's not one clear challenger right now in the Western Conference, as well as the Nuggets have played. You know, I don't know that it's them. The Thunder has been great, but they got their butts kicked tonight by the Washington Wizards in their own building. So, I mean, I don't know how you can certainly count on anybody that much in the Western Conference, and that may be the biggest advantage the Warriors have right now.
Geltz, last thing, we got about a minute. What did you think of Kawhi Leonard's return to San Antonio and the reaction to Kawhi?
I was, you know, Sonny, you know me, I'm never upset. Fans pay their money with a ticket. You can boo, you can chant what you want to chant as long as it's not obscene. They didn't do anything the fans couldn't do. I thought it was fine for the fans. I thought the big takeaway there was two things. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan's guys rallying around him and Kawhi's guys not rallying around him. Listen, Kyle Lowry has been really reluctant to accept the fact that Kawhi Leonard's the star there and not DeRozan anymore because DeRozan shared spotlight with him, and Kawhi doesn't care. That's just Kawhi. He's going to come do his own thing, and everybody's bestowing star treatment onto him. So I think that bothers Lowry, and I think that's had a trickle-down effect to the rest of his team because Kawhi's the new guy. So that was my big takeaway, and I also thought it was nice and important that we saw Kawhi and Pop share an on-camera, warm, genuine moment with each other that honored the years together and the success that they had. I thought that was important as well. But nonetheless, for Kawhi, you know, it's done. We're moving on to the next thing, and that's it. And at this point next season, Kawhi Leonard's going to be plying his craft and doing the exact same thing for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Geltz, your voice is basketball music to my ears, man. It's great to catch up with you. Great stuff as always, and as always, I look forward to doing it again with you soon. Thank you.
Shawnee, I can't wait, buddy. Always my pleasure. Great to have you back on Sundays, my man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.